Paul says, what do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love with the spirit of gentleness? You say, yeah, see there, Pastor Mark, you're wrong. He's ready to come. He's coming in with the rod. The point he's trying to make is, I can come and I can be very strong. I stand with the truth. I'll uphold the truth. But what would be best? What would be better? What would be the way that it should be done in gentleness, that people would respond? Do you not hear and sense the heart of the apostle? Come down off of your lofty places and humble yourself before God. That should be our cry. That should be our plea. That's how we should interact with one another. What Paul plans to put on display is not personal power, but a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power to bring people under conviction of gospel truth. That's what we should be confident in, that if we're sharing the truth, that God will illuminate truth, and he'll do it in his time and in his way. We got to trust him. He is God, and there is no other. The Holy Spirit's power either drives people to their knees in humble dependence, or he exposes the deceived deceivers for who they really are so they can be dealt with accordingly. We can recognize who the false ones are among us. They don't walk with humble dependence on Jesus. They don't conform to the teaching and ways of Christ. We need to acknowledge that. We need to be aware of that. Gospel life and ministry is the work of God. It's not the work of man, and we must live and minister like we believe it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 3 through 4. Paul says, since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him. But in our dealing with you, we live with him by the power of God. How comforting it is to be able to share with people the truth and rest in the heart. God, it's only by your grace that anybody's going to see this. It's only by your power that the blinders will be pulled off and people will be able to see. And we rest in that, and we believe that he's able to do those things. We learn. We grow. We do it by the strength God provides. We want to try to study so that we can be able to answer anyone who gives a question for the reason, for the hope that we have. We want to be able to do that. But we want to do it in a way that honors God and shows people what I have come to know, you can know too. Because I know Jesus. It's not a good thing to put yourself up on some pedestal and like you've arrived at some insight that is just extreme and unbelievable. That is not the heart of the Apostle Paul. He wants them to realize the substance of the power of God. You know, it's a comfort when you're sharing Christ with people, when you share Jesus with unbelievers, and as you open up your heart and you communicate how God has worked in you and you share with them, and you can say, and I've even said this verbally, I trust that the Spirit of God is the one who will work to drive these things home. It is him who will bring illumination. It's him who will bring you around to a place of surrender, and I pray that he will. I commit you to the power of God. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. And I think as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should be prone to do that with one another as well. We need to encourage one another in the truth. And we need to commit one another to the grace of God and what he's able to do to bring us around. Divine power is supplied to establish truth and to expose disobedience, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. Paul makes the point that his sanctification has yet to be completed, and his earthly body and his natural characteristics are still there. Here, when he says, for though we walk in the flesh, Paul is not making a statement here. There are times when the word flesh is used as sinful ways to behave, ungodly ways to live, that you're putting man at the center. Paul's not making that point. When he talks about walking, that he walks on this earth in the flesh, he's talking about his humanness, that he's a man subject to weaknesses and struggles just like anybody else. He's not above that. He's in the process of sanctification. He has not yet arrived. That's true of you and I, is it not? We've not arrived. We're not going to arrive on this earth. We're only going to arrive in ultimate sanctification after Jesus comes. So that's what we're looking forward to, aren't we? in the same time, right now, we're still struggling. We're still human beings. We're walking on this earth, and we are in the flesh. We're subject to the weaknesses, the limitations of our body. But his life and ministry, Paul's life and ministry, are not limited to the powers of the flesh. That's what he's trying to point to. Living the Christian life requires more than the natural abilities of the flesh. You just can't do it in the power of the flesh. You can't do it in the power of self-determination. You need God to strengthen you. You need God to help you. Encouraging others to walk in the truth demands the same thing. You need God's grace. You need God's strength to help you be an effective minister as you share truth. And every one of us should be ministers of God's gospel truth. We've got to learn to walk in this truth and live by faith. Paul presents his willingness to wage war because people in the church are not thinking biblically and they're not behaving properly. Can you believe that? People in the church weren't thinking biblically and they weren't behaving properly. The same can be said of us. The question is, what are we doing? When we come together with one another, are we open and are we sharing and are we encouraging people to hear these things and to walk in the truth? It's not good to walk in defiance. It's not good to walk in disobedience. It's not good to give way to the flesh and allow your fleshly appetites to thrive. No, we need to be brought to surrender and submission to God's grace in Christ. I want to appeal to you in that way from the pulpit. But folks, we all need to appeal to one another that way in our interactions. We got to love one another enough to care to share the truth. For the glory of God and the good of the church, erroneous ideas and teaching about the gospel must be corrected. You say, well, how's that going to happen? Well, you got to go to the Bible. You got to understand what the right teaching is. You got to spend some time trying to understand the truth. Agreed? And then when you're sharing some of these things that you think you've acquired, you're going to find, well, I thought I was right, but as I interacted with this individual, I saw I needed additional illumination. That's not a bad thing, right? This is what God wants to do in our hearts and lives. Become men and women of the book. It's amazing to me, Muslims call Christians people of the book. I wonder why. Because our history says that followers of Jesus knew the teachings of Scripture. Shouldn't we know this? And we should be sharing it. We should be walking in it. We should be communicating to others. You say, well, Pastor, I would, but I'm not a reader. You know what? Get over it. You gotta learn. You gotta spend some time. You gotta read. You're gonna have to read. You're gonna have to do that. It really, even in our day and age, you don't even have to read. All you gotta do is turn it on and listen to it. I mean, you can listen to the Word of God. You can listen to it. You can read it. We need to become men and women who know the teachings of Scripture. It needs to be pervasive in our hearts. We don't walk in the flesh. We do not wage war according to the flesh. No, we have the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. We have divine power to demolish strongholds. Paul went to war with the world, the flesh, and the devil armed with spiritual power. How are you and I going to do that? How well do you think you'll do against the world? Just in the power of your personal determination? How well are you going to do against Satan with just the power of personal determination? Well, you'll not get me. Oh, I'll battle you. I'm stronger than you. Really? You haven't read the Word? The Word tells you that's not the right answer. How are you going to deal with your flesh and the power of personal determination? It's not going to happen. God's given us divine power to demolish strongholds. Paul utilized them in his battle against his own sin and selfishness. He knew what it was to trust the promises of God's Word. He knew what it was to learn this, to walk this, to live this. He knew what it was to trust God, to believe God, to believe in Jesus. He utilizes them in his battle against false teaching and false teachers who oppose the humbling truths of the cross and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, these are not just mere things to memorize for the sake of gaining stars in Sunday school. I'm not against stars in Sunday school. By that I mean we have memory programs, and I have no problem with teachers affirming the accomplishments of kids when they learn a passage of Scripture and saying, let's give you a star on your attendance sheet. Let's give you a candy bar. Some of you parents going, don't you give my kid a candy bar. I think it's nice to affirm some of the things that happen. You know, Mike used to give out candy in the adult class to people who learned their verses. It still didn't work, but but it was good. I was kind of hoping for chips and salsa, but folks, the reason that we learn this stuff is more than to be able to say, look at what I did. See my star? See my candy? The reason we want to put these things in our minds is so that we can draw on the richness of God's strength, so that we can have resources when we don't have the pages of Scripture available, and we can call on these truths, that we become familiar with the principles of God's Word that are mined out from those teachings, so that we can stand firm in the midst of difficulties and hardships and call these things forward, so that we can encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ to do the same. The promises and the presence of God are available so that we are equipped to go to war and overrun the bastions of the flesh and the devil. That's incredible. We have divine power to demolish strongholds. What a great thing. You can find victory over your flesh and your weaknesses through the power of God, trusting Him to give you strength and ability. And when you learn that and you experience that, what a joy it is to share it with others. And you don't share it beating on your chest going, look at what I've done. You do it out of, man, look at what God did for me. This is what he did. Look at how he opened this door. I mean, it's incredible. Trust the word of God. Trust him to do what he's promised to do. Jesus is tempted by the devil in the wilderness 40 days. 40 days. What did Jesus use to counteract the temptations of the devil? Pardon? Scripture. What did the devil use to counteract Jesus' use of Scripture? Scripture. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. He said, well, okay, you're going to help us here? I hope to. Jesus used Scripture in context and used it with relevant application. Satan's just trying to pull things out and throw them just to make a point. You and I have got to be students of the Word. By God's grace, we humble ourselves before God and we say, teach me, Lord. You come to church with a teachable heart. You come in and say, help me to understand the truth. Protect me from whatever Pastor Mark would say that would be an error, but guide me into truth. That should be our prayer. That should be our consistent prayer. And we should be going to the Word of God and reading on a daily basis, asking God to illuminate us in the pathway of truth. We should be going to our small groups and trying to amass this understanding and benefiting from the interaction of other people around us who are struggling and walking, and we need to be there and they need to be there, and we all share this together. Put the truth in its proper context. Draw on it and put those applications in your life. It will benefit your soul. Not only will it benefit your soul, it'll benefit the souls of other people. Stop being slack. Stop giving yourself a way out. I don't care if you just read one verse a day and pore over that and ask God to just bless your socks off. Do it. Why you say, don't give people that excuse. Don't just let him stop at one verse, Pastor. What do you say? You know what? I know what'll happen. That one verse will lead to two. And the richness of God will start to pour over that soul, and they're going to start creating a hunger and thirst like they've never had before. That's what we need. Isn't that right, Brittany? Isn't that what he's doing in your heart? It's pretty incredible, isn't it? Isn't that what's happening, Kara? It's incredible. I've seen this happening in my daughters-in-law. It's amazing. Praise be to God. Folks, we need the Word. We got to spend time with God and His Word. You see, the truths and principles of Scripture are not just information for your mind. They have supernatural power to liberate the people of God. Jesus said in John 8, verse 31, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, 'If you abide in My word, you're truly My disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" If you abide in My word, you're truly My disciples. You know the truth. The truth will set you free. And I am just one long-winded pastor. Forget about trying to keep up with me. Don't even try, okay? He says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. The strongholds of the earthbound thought and man-centered justifications are overcome by the Holy Spirit's illumination and application of biblical truth." You want to grow in your grace and knowledge of Jesus? Start spending time in the Word. Start listening attentively. Start asking God to teach you and help you, and He will. You are going to start seeing God do amazing things. You're going to see the arguments that you have, the arguments of others being brought against the teaching of Scripture, and you're going to say, there's something more. And we want to share that. We want to live that. We want to have our thoughts illuminated by God's truth. So that means, God, teach me to think like You want me to think. And I can't do that if I'm not ingesting this. Teach me to think like You want me to think. The truth and strength God supplies, we can win battles, not only for ourselves, but for others. And folks, there are people who are hurting, struggling. They need words of encouragement, and we should be providing them consistently. We have this ability to take captive every thought so that we obey Christ. You know, one thing you can say about humanity is we like to do it our way. God is totally sufficient, and He's promised to provide everything we need, but we still battle, don't we, in that same garden curse. I think the way I want to do it's better. But God says, no. Trust me, abide in me. We can take those thoughts captive. We can see our disobedience brought into, reined in by God's grace and truth. We can see the disobedience and disbelief of others reined in and exalt and see Jesus Christ exalted as humble, dependent followers of Jesus make much of Jesus. Being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. What is Paul saying here? He goes, I'm coming. We're going to deal with this. That's what he's saying. We are going to deal with this. Being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Once the teachable are walking together in the pathway of truth, those who persist in error will be exposed. Corrective measures are going to need to be taken. What this means is this: Paul intends for the church to validate gospel truth and join him in exposing the man-centered errors of the false teachers and their followers. The church needs to come together with Paul to say, this is not right. We're going to believe this. We're going to support this. We're going to hold on to this. You know what it's like to hear people struggling. You know what it's like to hear people who hear hard truths and back away from that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be compassionate. I'm not saying we shouldn't be tender and understand their hurt, but we should not allow them to think that it's okay for them to have beliefs and thoughts that are outside of God's truth. Our heart should be to say, no, brother, sister, we need to come back in line with this. This is where God would have us to be. This is where God would have us to do what God would have us to do. We've got to have the courage of our convictions, and we can contend for the faith without being contentious. We can do that. You don't have to be brutal. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be ugly. You just have to walk in the truth and share the truth. And that's what we should do. So consider these. Are you diligent to encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ to walk in humble dependence on Jesus? When was the last time you had a conversation with a brother or sister in Christ and you shared with them the importance of walking in humility and dependence? When was the last time that you you found yourself sitting and hearing someone talking and struggling, and you can identify with their weakness, you can identify with the struggle, but do you bring them back to the truth? Do you bring them back to the gospel? We need to do that. Do you stir your brothers and sisters up in Christ to love and good deeds without stirring up dissension? With humility and dependence, this can be accomplished. Are you consistently living your Christian life and engaging in gospel ministry, utilizing the arsenal of supernatural weapons that God has graciously made available to you? Do you realize the spiritual power that God has given us through His Word? And as His Holy Spirit comes and brings illumination to this to enlighten our hearts and minds and give us the power to walk this out, we have an incredible arsenal of power. We should trust Him, believe Him, abide in Him. We need to care. Folks, we just need to ask God to help us to care for His truth and to care for one another in His truth. Let's unite our hearts together to be in hot pursuit of God and His grace. God, bless your church and strengthen your people. Help us, Lord, to just be embraced by the reality of what you want us to be as a congregation. Help us to love one another deeply from the heart, God. Help us to stir one another up to love and good deeds. God, help us to take our time with you and your word seriously and preciously. May you help us, God, to bask in the richness of this food for spiritual thought that you've given us. And God, change us, shape us, and help us to be used of you to change and shape others to the glory of your name. May Jesus Christ be exalted, God. Amen.